Well, I want you to know, and I don't care if you know this, but it's been 728 days since we've come to this day. Make sense? Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, come on! It's Selection Sunday! This is the day that we find out who's in the NCAA tournament, or the big dance, as some of us like to call it, right? Now, I know we need to be praying about Wichita State, you know, so we'd have to pray about that. And you know what? God can do anything, so we'll see what happens. But this is the day where we find out. And so I want you to know at 5 o'clock, don't call me, don't knock on my door, don't come within a mile of my house, because I'm going to be glued to the TV with my brackets writing down where everybody's at. This is one of my favorite times of the year. You see, the NCAA tournament, remember last year, it got canceled. I remember month of March was a month of mourning at our house. But I want you to know that not this year. You know, one of the things I love about this tournament is that you just don't get into this tournament. You have to prove yourself to get into the tournament. This is the tournament of champions. This is where you have the best of the best. And you know what's going to happen is that in a few weeks, they're going to crown the national champion, right? I mean, teams have been working for years to get to this point, and now it's coming down to crunch time. Wouldn't you just love be some of the locker rooms, hearing some of the locker room speeches that some of these coaches are getting ready to say to their kids? I mean, when you get to this point, if you're not motivated, I don't think you're ever going to be motivated. But this is the time when everybody talks about being the best. So in a few weeks, there's going to be one team. We don't know who that is right now. You fill out your brackets, you'll find out. But at the end of this next few weeks, there's going to be one team that's going to hold up that national trophy, aren't they? There's going to be confetti everywhere. And they're going to be the ones with holding up one finger. Ah, we're number one. We're number one. And they can say, we're the best in the 2021 NCAA tournament, right? Now, I know what probably a lot of you are thinking, what does that have to do with what we're going to talk about today? It has everything to do with it. Because what I just described for you is exactly what's happening in our story today of the Tower of Babel. You see, our story this morning, as we bring this series to close, is about this. It's about a group of people who were obsessed with being number one. Stand with me out of respect for God's word. As I read from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. I want to pause for a moment. I want to tell you. The fact that the people were moving eastward tells us they were moving away from God, okay? Remember in the Garden of Eden, on what side of the garden did God put the cherubim? On the east side, right? And so now here are the people, they're moving east, and what the belief is, they're moving away from God. All right, now watch what happens here. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. And the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Now listen to these next words. Come, let us go down. Who's the us? God's talking about the Holy Trinity. That's going to come, and you're going to need that in a little bit here. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world, From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Father, I know in my life there have been times I've tried to make a name for myself. Forgive me. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so what I want to do is I want to begin this message, and I want to compare it to where we started the very first message. We're in this series called Genesis, getting back to the beginning. This is our last in a series of 10 messages. And what I want to do, if you will join me, I want to go back to the garden, okay? You remember that in the garden, the Bible tells us that God gave, that there were two trees. There was the tree of life, and there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Bible tells us where they were put in the garden. They were put in the center of the garden, right? Do you remember why? Because life happened in the center of the garden. You see, God wanted Adam and Eve every single day to be reminded, I have a choice to make. I can choose to follow God, or I can choose to follow myself. Now, the tree of life represents following God. It's the example of having dominion over the earth, but under the authority of Almighty God. Choosing this tree means that I'm going to have faith, belief, and trust in God Almighty. But then there's the other tree. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is the tree that when you eat from it, that you are saying to God, I don't need you. I can do it by myself. This is the tree that says, I'm going my own way, not your way. This is the tree that says, I'm depending on self. Now, I want to remind you that when the serpent came into the garden and he tempted Adam and Eve, not from the tree of life, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And remember that when the serpent came to Eve, he was testing her on her knowledge of the word of God, and it wasn't very accurate. So he twisted it. And what he said to Eve, Eve, if you eat from this tree, you guys will be like God, as if God was holding back from them. Have you ever felt like God was holding back something from you? If you ever have, you need to recognize that's the same lie that was used in the garden. What was Satan trying to do? Satan was trying to divide Adam and Eve from the Lord God. And the way that he chose to do it was what got him in trouble, and that was pride. From the very beginning of time, we know that Satan tried to divide Adam and Eve from God. And it's the same thing that he tries to do each and every day. He wants to divide us from God, he wants to divide us from each other, and he wants to divide us from ourselves. Now, why would he want to do that? It's real simple. The Bible tells us when he can divide us, he can get us alone, and when he gets us alone, he can destroy us. I want you to remember that the way we were separated from God is called sin. He also wants to separate us from one another. What do we call that? It's called the church. I can tell you right now, Satan is working hard to keep the church from coming back together. Why? Because Satan knows the power of the church. But Satan even goes one step farther, and he tries to divide us from ourselves. Now, what does that mean? He's trying to separate us from our identity. So you need to know your identity. What is your identity? Well, what does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us that in the very beginning that God made them male and female, and in his image, he created them. So this is our identity. We are male and female, created in the image of God. All right, now I want to just bring that to where we are today. And I want you to listen very carefully so you understand this. We're dealing right now with gender issues. In other words, that a person can choose what they want to be. And I just want to remind you of something. You cannot change the inside of you based on what you do on the outside, okay? The only way you can be completely changed is by transformation from your heart, because it's out of the heart that all of these evil things come. But I want you to understand, the Bible tells us that this whole gender issue from the very beginning, this is a ploy of the devil. Because if the devil can strip you of your identity, then you are a nothing. And that's when he can destroy you. Do you understand that? The importance of who we are in Christ? I am a son of God. You are a son or a daughter of the King of Kings, of the Lord of God. Lords, that's your identity. And do not let Satan take it from you. So what do we do in these issues of gender issues and things like that? They're not the enemy. Can I say that again? They're not the enemy. They're in the clutches of the evil one. And we need to pray for them. And we need to love them. And we need to demonstrate this is what Jesus looks like. When all of those people were coming in here to get the vaccine, we got them donuts. We got them all different kinds of drinks. I mean, we did all kinds of things because we just simply wanted them to know you are loved here. So everyone who walked through the doors, we wanted them to feel the love of Jesus. It wasn't found in the fact that they had Dunkin' Donuts. It wasn't found in the fact that we set out a whole spread for them. What they saw were the things that we did for them, and that equated, so this is what love looks like. Yes, that's what love looks like, where we love one another. Now, I want to remind you again that every single day we all have a choice. We can choose to follow God, or we can choose to follow our own path. But each day, we make that choice. So here's what I want you to see from this. Pride equates with open rebellion against God, and that's what pride looks like. Humility equates trust and obedience, and that's what humility looks like. Which life are you living? All right, now, let's begin, and I want to start by just giving you some facts about the Tower of Babel, because there's some pretty interesting things that you need to be aware of. And the first one is this: Noah is still alive, okay? This story happens about 100 to 150 years after the flood. Noah lived to be 950 years old. But there's another patriarch that's alive. He's probably a very young lad at this point, and his name is Abram. So here we have, between these two great patriarchs, we have this story of the city of Babel. Now here's what the Bible tells us. We know that everybody in the world spoke one language, and according to the best religious theologians, we believe that there were approximately 30,000 people living at this time. When you read the Bible in Genesis chapter 1 through 11, I want you to understand that chronologically, chapter 11 comes before chapter 10, okay? What happens is that when Moses put these books together, he switched chapters 10 and 11 so that when you read chapter 10 at the end of the chapter, this is the question you ask. How did the world get separated like this? Then chapter 11 gives you the answer, okay? All right, now, a couple other things that I want you to know about this that I think are so cool. All of the people are living in an area called Shinar. It's also known as the Fertile Crescent. Between the Tigris and the Euphrates. Does that bring to mind anything? It should. This story takes place near the setting of the Garden of Eden. Remember, those were the same words that we use that the Bible tells us about where the Garden of Eden was located. So here we have all of this happening in roughly the same setting. Now, what I want you to know when you talk about the Tower of Babel, I don't want you to think like over there, it's the Leaning Tower of Pisa. No, that's not what it is. I want you to understand what's happening here. The Tower of Babel is religious in nature. Okay? It was religious in nature. And so in other words, they're building a temple. It was called the Ziggurat. That's what they called it. It was a temple. Some people believe that it maybe have gotten up to about 100 meters high. Now, let me go to the scriptures for a minute, and I want you to look at this with me. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. So what I want you to understand is the purpose of what they're trying to do is they're trying to bring heaven down to earth. This is a group of people that wants to live separated from God. So take a look at this. The goal of the Tower of Babel was to bring humanity together wholly apart from God. Can you relate to that? In our world right now, we have a world that wants to live wholly apart from God. But I want to remind you, going back to the Garden of Eden, that is not why we were created. We were created to be interdependent upon one another, right? Okay, now, let's take the next step in this story. I want to show you what were the goals of the people who were building this tower. And one of the peoples who was a leader of this time, his name was Nimrod, okay? Here were their goals. Number one, to make a name for themselves. And the second one is this, so that they would not be scattered over the face of the earth. Huh. You know, I think about that. I want you to be reminded that what they're doing is they're playing an ancient power game. And the ancient power game that they're playing is this. We want to be number one. In fact, we want all the rest of the world to come to where we are to look at this temple and go, oh, you guys are awesome. Hey, Nimrod, can I get a selfie with you? I mean, they want everyone to come and say, look what these guys have done. They want the rest of the world to look at them so they were in awe of them. You know what we're seeing here? We're seeing how fast these people have fallen away from God, and we're seeing the stronghold that Satan has on their lives. So can I just pause for a moment, and I want to ask you a question. Have you ever wanted to be the best at what you do? Maybe you want to have the biggest business. Maybe you want to make the most money. Maybe you want to drive the nicest car. Maybe you want to have the highest GPA. What is it that you're doing in your life that you're trying to make a name for yourself? Now, I know that some of you are thinking, oh, I shouldn't have come to church this morning. But I even have to ask myself, it comes down to the why. So why, Pastor Bob, do we want to build this church? So you can say you have a big church? I mean, I'm just being honest with you. We all have to ask that question because it comes down to our hearts, the why of what we're doing and why we're doing what we're doing. Here's a couple things we learned from it. Number one, look at this. The drive for power and notoriety comes from the fear of having to depend on someone else. This is all based in fear. It was believed that when they first started building this tower, you know what their desire was? They were afraid at the potential of another flood coming. And so they decided, let's build a tower, something that is big enough and tall enough so that if the floods come again, we won't have to worry about being destroyed. We will have created something where we can save ourselves. This is a mindset, people. This is the mindset that says, I'm the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul. This is the mindset of like today's world where we say this, if it's meant to be, what's the rest of it? It's up to me. That's exactly what is happening here. I want you to understand something, okay? Ambition is not wrong. Winning is not wrong. Having the biggest business is not wrong. Being the best is not wrong. Displaying your trophies at home for others to see is not wrong. Are we clear on that? Having nice cars, having a nice house, it's not wrong. Everybody agree with that? Are we clear? But here's what I want you to hear. But it's not totally innocent. And here's why. It's because the neighborhood that this lives in, and it's called the neighborhood of pride. Can you relate? It's the neighborhood of pride. It's that voice that says, see my new car? Pretty nice, huh? Cost me $120,000. Yeah, we just bought a brand new house. 10 bedrooms, 50,000 square feet. I just made that up. But do you understand what's happening here? Now, here's why this is so important. My dear friends in Christ, pride was the original sin of the universe. Pride is what got the devil removed and kicked out of heaven. And pride is got us where we are today because of what happened in the garden. And pride is the same thing that Satan is still working on in your life because he knows the desires of our heart. You know what this is? This is rebellion against God. Look at this. In James 4:6. But he gives us more grace. That is why scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. You see, what God wants us to learn from this and what he wants us to ask the question of ourselves is this. So why are you doing what you're doing? That's all. Why are you working the hours and the hours and the hours when you know you have a family at home that needs you? Why are you climbing that ladder to get to that position that you think is going to make you what you're supposed to be, but in the end, you're going to find out that you're disappointed? God tells us that we can do it man's way or we can do it his way, but the question is, so why are we doing it? Take a look at this. The second thing is this. Our desperate need for significance leads us to compromise our values. In other words, because we want to be the best at what we do, we take shortcuts. Because we want to be the best at what we do, we lie to our parents or we lie to our spouses. Because we want to be the very best at what we're doing and make the most money or be the most successful, we use people to get what we want, and then when we don't need them, then we discard them. Listen to me, ambition is not wrong. It's not wrong to build your business. It wasn't wrong for them to build the tower. It became wrong when it was fueled by arrogance. And when God looked down upon that, he saw that it reeked with pride and arrogance. All right, now, the second thing. What was the second thing that the people were afraid of? They wanted to make a name for themselves, and the second thing was, is they didn't want to be scattered. Now, why wouldn't they want to be scattered? Well, let's find out. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. So that was the original command that God gave to Noah and his sons to spread the word to the rest of the earth. What was God saying to them? He goes, I want you to be fruitful and multiply, but I want you to spread and fill the entire earth. I've created the earth to be able to take care of all mankind. I don't want you sticking together. Now, here's the question. So why didn't God want them sticking together? Why was that so important? Look what the Bible says. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Here's what God is saying. So the triune God comes down from heaven to earth to look at what they were doing. The people thought that what they were doing was this huge project, but it was so small to God, he had to come all the way from heaven down to earth just to be able to see what they were doing. And here's what I want you to know. Many people get confused with this and they say, okay, so what God is saying is that when man puts his head together, there isn't anything that he can't do. No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is this. Please listen carefully. When man puts his heads and his hearts together, there is no depth of evil that he will not stoop to. That's what God is saying. You see, the people needed to have everybody come together so they could make a name for themselves. And when that couldn't happen, what happened? God scattered them. So here's something we learn. You can't thwart God's plans. If God said, I want you to scatter, guess what? He's going to scatter you. Now, here's what I want you to think about this, okay? So the Bible tells us what God did, right? He came down, and what did he do? He changed their languages, didn't he? So, I mean, think about this. They're all communicating with one another. Okay, count to five out there. One, two, three. And all of a sudden, eins, zwei, drei, vier, fünf. See, you didn't know I could speak German, right? Okay. But here's what happened. All of a sudden, their language was confused and they couldn't communicate. And because they couldn't communicate, it frustrated their plans. Have you ever tried to work details out with someone who doesn't speak the same language? I remember one time our family, we laugh about it. I was trying to order an Apfelstrudel in Germany, and I told him I wanted to do it all by myself. Oh, did I get myself in trouble? We won't even go there. But it's hard to do that, isn't it? So God just scattered, or he just changed their languages, and what happened is they had to scatter. All right, now, here's something else I want you to learn, and please understand this, okay? The Bible does not teach race. The Bible teaches people groups. All of us came from Noah and his family. If you take your ancestry all the way back, it's going to come to Noah and his family. So here's what I want you to understand. Our DNA and all of that is 98.something% all the same. The difference is that 0.12222 whatever that gives us things like color and different hair and eyes and things like that. We all came from the same family. So we don't have races, we have people groups. So what happens? The people began to congregate with people who spoke the same language, and they moved and they started spreading out all over the world. And then genetics kicked in after that. But listen, that's not the only thing God did. God didn't just confuse their language, he also caused them to forget the language that they were speaking. You see, just because they could speak another language, if they could still speak the language they were speaking, they still could communicate, right? But no, he confused them. And what happened? People were scattered all over the earth. All right, now I want to bring this to a close, okay? 2,500 years later, okay? 2,500 years later, something happened where God brought everybody back together again. Do you know what it is? Do you remember that after Jesus went to heaven, he said, there's a comforter coming. the Holy Spirit. And 2,500 years later, they all got together, the disciples, and what happened? Remember? The Holy Spirit came on, there were like tongues of fire that came upon these people's heads. And what happened? They started speaking different languages. There was such a rush going on from the wind. There was such a loud noise that the Bible tells us that people came from all different places within that were there during that time of year. They came from all different places, and they started listening to these guys speaking in their own language. So once God separated, now he brings them all together, and they're speaking their language. And what are they speaking? The Bible says they were speaking worship and exalting God. Do you remember what happened? They were so convinced and convicted by Peter's sermon. Remember what happened? They said, "What must we do to be saved?" And remember what Peter said? He goes, "You repent and you be baptized." And the Bible tells us that 3,000 people were saved on that day. I want to close by asking you three questions, and then we're going to watch our Dollar Club video. And here's the questions. Number one, how are you building your life? Are you building it so that you get fame, that you get the notoriety? Or are you building it because you want it to bring glory to God? Here's the other thing we need to ask. So how are we building this church? Are we building this church because we want a name for ourselves? Or are we building this church because we want this church to impact the community for Jesus Christ? And then the last question is this. So how are you pursuing eternal life? The Bible says there's only one way to the Father. The Bible says that Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Not by good works, not by having a big business, not by having the nicest house, not by wearing the nicest clothes, not by having the biggest church. It comes through Jesus Christ. I hope that today that you go home at some point in time and you just simply ask yourself this question: why? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And if you can say, no matter in the good or the bad, if you can say, "I'm doing this because I want to honor God with my life," then you're doing it for the right reasons. But if you're doing it because you want to bring glory to yourself, and we've all been there, myself included, and what we need to do is we just need to take a moment and get on our knees and confess our sin. And Jesus tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and then we move on.